Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Larry Steinhouse Show.
All right, everybody, good morning and welcome to the Larry Steinhouse Show. We are broadcasting live from Investor Schooling headquarters right here in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I am Larry Steinhouse. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling, and I'm here to make financial education fun and accessible to everyone, including you, especially you. On this show, we will discuss several ways of making more money. We concentrate on real estate investing, stock options trading, the stock market, and how to maximize your retirement funds. You can call us anytime during the show at
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. I repeat, that's 855-939-1137. This is Debbie laughing at 855-939-1137.
I giggle. You make me giggle.
Yeah, now complete the intro so we can go into the show.
There we go. So we're going through the show now. Okay, let's do it. Okay, so... We also, by the way, you can call that number with any of your questions about money, finances, or anything on your mind, even politics. And if we could ever fix it, ever since they did a reboot of my computer, I'm having trouble getting online every single week now. So I don't know what's going on.
But they updated the
eventually,
software or something?
I might be able to get us live on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Anyway, I'm here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson. Yay!
Woo!
And Amri Marad, also known as the immigrant.
Yay!
We also have our, we don't have our sweet producer, we have our other producer, Kirk Corliss, with us today. He's going to take your calls. Well, you're not the sweet one, you're the cool one. How's that?
He is the unsweet.
And the Larry Steinhouse Show is brought to you by Investor Schooling. At Investor Schooling, we teach you things about money I bet you never knew. We focus on practical learning, and we equip you with real-world skills in real estate investing, stock options, tax-saving tips, and the secrets to financial freedom. Our headquarters are right here in Bucks County, but our online courses teach eager investors all over the country. RSVP for a free class at
investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com.
Nice.
Investorschooling.com. You know why I'm doing it, right?
No.
Because it appeared to me during the week, that the week that we spent together, and we saw many investors around us, that everybody believe they know the name of our company, but apparently they don't.
Oh, that was very funny, yes. That was
apparently,
Ben Mallet.
They do investors
funny.
Schooling.
Yeah. Right, they connect
investor school, exactly. Exactly. For some reason, when we say that, people still count it as something different.
Right.
I don't know why.
Well, clearly you didn't name a, didn't provide a very good name for the school. If everybody gets
well,
it wrong.
Well, we already know that. I mean,
so
you know,
you should have come up with something a bit different.
I just go Larry, Larry go broke.
LarryGoBroke.com.
No. If you go broke, it's a
.org. .org.
Oh, yeah. .org. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, if you want to call in about anything. So what's going on, guys? I have to tell you a funny story. I wish I recorded it.
Yeah.
So this woman reaches out to me. I got one of my places for rent. And she reaches
out to me. I heard that just before the show.
Right. Well, there was two of them, actually.
Yeah.
You caught the second one. You didn't catch the first one.
Okay.
So the woman reaches out, and she reaches on Facebook, and she says, you know, I noticed that we're friends on Facebook. And I'm like, okay. And then it continues on to something like, you know, there's a lot of scams out there. I want to know more about your place. Here's my phone number, which is very unusual to give you the phone number. You
know, I know.
I usually ask for it, or I usually ask them to call me.
No, I have the same experience. They don't want to give. They don't want to call you. But they will give you the phone number, so you will call them. I don't know why.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Exactly.
Okay. Right.
I experienced
that. She gave me the phone number, so I call her up. And you know, what's my first question? Always.
Why are you moving?
Well, or when do you want to move?
When do you want to move?
Right. So I said, okay, yeah, so when do you want to move? And she goes, Well, I've been living in this place for 2 years. Tell me this whole story about how she lives there and she doesn't like it. She doesn't like it. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. When do you want to move? And I live in New Jersey now. And what part of New Jersey? And she goes, like, I don't know, some off-land New Jersey, like an hour or two from here, New Jersey. Like,
where's the work?
North That's Jersey, more, yeah. right? And I said, this is Lansdale, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
This is where the apartment is. And she goes, I know, I don't care. How far is that from Princeton? I said, it's probably at least an hour and a half.
No.
From Princeton?
Maybe an hour.
No. Yeah, because Princeton's maybe...
From Lansdale?
Well, from here, Princeton's...
Yeah. No, from Lansdale, all right, it's calm at least down. An hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
All right, calm down.
And I said, why would you want to move there? Well, yeah, I don't know. I just want to move because I don't like it here. I said, well, you know, I said, okay, that's fine. Because I'm like, you know, listening to this. And I said, and finally, it keeps going.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't stop talking.
Okay.
And I finally said, you know, when do you want to move? And she said, well, I'm not even sure. I'm in no rush. I said, well, when you're ready to move, give me a call back. I mean, it was one of those things where, like, I've never had anybody yakety yak so much about nothing. It just looked like she was crazy. Nervous Nelly didn't want to really discuss her problem.
It seems to me like she want to move, but she's on a month-to-month lease or something like that, and she trying to find the right place or the perfect place, and that's why she's not in a rush. She just want to find a place.
But I don't have time for that. You have time for that?
Yeah, no. I've been getting a lot of... So I have a one-bedroom, one-bath open.
Yeah.
And I've been getting some calls while, you know, and I ask the same question, when do you want to move? Well, right away. And I'm like, well, what's the rush? What's going on? Well, I'm living at home with my parents, and me and my boyfriend want to get a place. And I've gotten the same answer at least four times in the last week. And I'm like, what's going on here? So, like, I wonder if...
The holidays?
Everybody home. Everybody home. Okay. And they can't.
They start to figure out they hate each other because they spend so much time with each other. I'm kidding, of course, but yeah.
Okay.
I have the same experience.
Okay.
I have the same experience also here in Pennsylvania and also in our park in Florida. Many people are calling, not many, but the people that are calling are people with no rental reference.
Right. That's no rental reference.
The problem. And that's the problem. I am actually putting a tenant in my house in Norristown right now. It's a big family. They moved from another state. They lived there with a family member that was sick and they helped. But there is no reference. And we know and we keep telling our student that the most important thing, we need to talk to the tenant and the previous landlord, correct, is where you lived, how long do you live there, and Larry, what's the question? Were there any problems?
I heard there were problems, what were they?
That's to the landlord. I'm talking in general right now. We need to figure out whatever we can about the time they lived and where they lived before. If it's from them, if it's from the previous landlord, we always call the previous landlord, always. But we need to figure out that. And when we don't have that thing, when we don't know where they live, we don't know how long they live there, we don't know anything about their history in renting, that's a very big problem for us.
Right. So then the question is, what do you do about it? Does that mean that you don't take them, or what does that mean?
So we need to hold into something. It can be their income. It can be that previous landlord said that they are the most terrific people on earth. It can be, I think those are the two most important things. It can be the credit score. It can be something. But we need to hold into something. And if we can't hold to anything, we are in a problem. And that's the thing. We try to hold to something to make sure that this relationship is going to last. Because to me, as a landlord, I have relationship with the tenant, regardless to how anybody wants to look at it. It is a relationship, like any other relationship. And you have to make sure this relationship is going to work. And that's it.
All right.
Yeah. When you sit on a table in a restaurant and you're talking to your date, right?
In a restaurant,
you sit across the table from your date.
Across the table. Okay.
Yeah. You want to know
I'm confused by everything you just said.
Like, why?
You want to date your tenant?
No. I'm saying, what do you do in a first date? You ask those questions. you try to figure out that this person that sits in front of you is maybe the one, is maybe the person that you're going to spend your life with. Because if all the question...
I don't know about that. I mean,
yeah,
you know, like,
I'm
you know,
not
it's
so
been
sure
a little
about
while since I've been dating, but I when I sit across the table, I want to know if I'm either going to... If I'm gonna go home laughing, go home crying, or go home happy.
Okay.
Right? That's the first few minutes.
Okay.
I've had some, I remember some of the funniest dates I had that, you know, that were absolutely hysterical. Hysterical dates.
Okay.
I don't even know if I want to go there right now, but I mean, like, you know, like.
You told me one, actually referred to a closing we did before a few weeks ago.
I don't even remember which one, but some of them were just hysterical. All right, anyway, I'm going to go on another topic because we're supposed to be in finances.
Yeah, I'm not sure how dating is going to. But anyway,
no,
so
we
I,
talked.
Well, you do, I'll tell you one thing about dating, right? You know, you could marry more net worth in 5 minutes than you could make in your entire life.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a piece of financial advice for all those people out there. It used to be just women, but now it's men too. You know, go find somebody very, very rich and then marry them. And then you've increased your net worth by, you know, tons of money.
So I'm not sure it's right because...
What is wrong with you? Like, Julie, what is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you?
I don't know what's going on here.
I don't know. I just, it's, you know, I'm in a mood because the cameras are not working, but they weren't working at first, so I'm all confused, you know.
So when you marry
and
a person...
Kimmy says hi, by the way.
When you marry a person that is loaded with money, right? What you bring to the marriage stays yours.
No, not
yes.
necessarily.
Yes.
In most cases, you're correct, but not necessarily. Just be careful with that. So, you know, so I mean, we could talk prenups if you want,
This is the Larry Steinhaus Show in marriage advice to you at 12:10.
Well, we all know I'm an expert in marriage.
Yes, you are.
You know, I've done it the most in the room.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, if you add all your marriages up, I've still married more times than both of you together. And maybe Kirk. Kirk, are you married?
Yes, I am married.
Kirk's not listening.
I'm listening. I just had to put my...
Are you married?
On. Yes, I'm married.
Are you married once or twice?
Once.
Okay, so... If I add up all the marriages, including Kirk, I've still married more times than all three of you.
We are working on the
certificate.
That is probably, right,
it's probably true. I've been married 25 years with my wife.
Well, good for you, man.
Okay.
If I add up all my marriages, I think it comes to 25 years.
In average.
And, of course, if my wife is listening, but this time I found the best one.
Even right. if she don't listen.
She listens every once in a while.
No, I'm saying... You think that even if she don't listen.
Oh, no, yeah, I understand. But, you know, I just want to make sure she wasn't, you know, like,
yeah.
you know. Wow. Anyway.
This is a financial
show.
Let's
talk about making money.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm getting a kick out of listening to some other financial shows. And, of course, what's the number one product that they keep pushing?
Don't tell me annuities.
Annuities, exactly.
Again?
Right. The thing went broke again.
So I really have to ask. When a person offer annuities to a person that is 60-year-old,
right?
It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
So it depends on what they're doing with the annuity. That's the problem.
But if you offer an annuity for a 20-year-old that has so much more opportunity to invest his money,
that's the worst
thing in the world.
But a 60-year-old, if you're offering them an annuity, you still have a problem. Because you're not, if they're not using it properly, then it's a problem. Annuities is made for one thing. It's to take a certain amount of income, a certain amount of money, and turn it into a certain amount of income over a certain amount of time.
Exactly.
Okay, that's the only thing an annuity should be used for.
So
what people are doing now is they're taking money, they're putting in an annuity, and they're holding on to it for many, many years until they take that income, which is a major problem.
So my question to you is, at what age annuity can make sense to a self-employed that didn't save for his pension?
My opinion, never.
Never?
Never.
Okay.
Right?
Because to you, they can put this money in a rental property and make more money.
There's so many better places to put it. You can even lend it to a real estate investor
yes,
and make more
correct.
Money. Which is one of the things that we talk about all the time, lending money to a real estate investor. If you lend money to a real estate investor, you actually can make more money than an annuity, and you can get paid for life.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah. At much higher rate, we need to also mention that. Because annuity, how much annuity pays right now?
So typical annuity is about 5 or 6%, but the fees in the annuity is so high that it doesn't matter.
So you say 5 or 6% gross?
Excuse me,
sir.
That's 5 or 6% gross, not net.
No, it's not even. Yeah, but it's 5 or 6% on the money that you put in it. But the problem again comes back to, it comes back to what you put into it and how much actually goes to work for you. So a lot of times, let's say for example, somebody puts $100,000 into an annuity.
Okay.
Right. Only $90,000 plus goes to work for you because all the fees that went to the agent.
But the fees should go with time, no?
They go where?
With time. Or the fees go at one time, the agent get a bung, like a big pile of money and that's it.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
Really?
Agents get 3 to 5% of the amount of money you put in. Plus, that's the agent. Now remember, the agency gets also money on top of that.
Which is the company that hold the
right.
money.
So it's about, they're taking about 10% commission total. Now, then they put that money to work for you, but they only put a certain amount of money to work for you. Then they tell you that they're going to have fees if you cash it out early. So it's like, basically, we're taking your money, we will not give it back to you. Sorry, you made a mistake.
What do you mean if you cash it early?
If you take out your money early, there's fees for taking out your
yeah,
money.
Yeah, I got that, but what is early to you? If early I need the money...
It could be anywhere up to 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
So it can be good.
It can be more, actually. Some are more.
So maybe for a 60-year-old, it was a bad example. It needs to be for someone younger if they're building on the monthly income from it.
No, even a 60-year-old. If a 60-year-old puts the money in and wants to withdraw immediately, in other words, they need to live off it. So if you have if you had a disabled child, for example, right?
Yes.
And you wanted to say, listen, when I die, I want to make sure this child gets a certain amount of money every month for their guardian or caretaker to take care of them. An annuity is perfect for that. It's a perfect vehicle for that. Because now you can actually figure out how much money that person is going to get forever until okay. they die or for a certain amount of time. So that's what annuity is good for. That's what they were invented for. Somehow, somewhere along the way, you know, they're life insurance salesmen because life insurance sales, you have to have a life insurance license to sell an annuity.
Yeah.
The life insurance salesperson somewhere along the way figured out that, hey, I could sell more annuities by taking money now and having people sit that money in that annuity for several years, and we don't really care what the outcome is because they sold me annuity 10 years ago, and they're not going to come after me and say, hey, you made a bad choice. In fact, we're going to convince them it was a really good idea to tie up your money.
So I think they used the idea that annuity is always a good idea according to their belief because everybody needs a pension. People look at annuity as a pension. It's
so
a money.
Exactly what it should be used for only.
Exactly.
Not saving in it. If you had, like I said, if you had $1 million, for example, you put $1 million in and you want to get a fixed $5,000 a month for the rest of your life, you might get that. It might be less. That's fine. That's what it's for. But if you put $1 million in now and you don't want to use that money for another 10 or 15 years, there are much better places you can put that money to grow and grow much higher than it would ever in an annuity.
Okay.
Sometimes a bank account will give you more.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, you know, you're getting in a bank account 5 and 6%, 4 and 5%.
Yeah,
I mean it's not unlikely. But even a CD would give you more, and your money's not tied up.
Yeah, I know.
So I just don't like annuities. Annuities are the biggest. I think it's the biggest ripoff that registered reps sell. You know, we've a lot of registered reps out there. There's shows before us, shows after us. That's what they're selling. They're selling you annuities.
To me,
and they're making them up. They call them something else, but they're annuities.
What do you mean they call them something else?
Oh, they make up these other names. I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk.
So to me, annuity makes sense only if you don't have any money problem. You have tons of it, and you just want to make sure that when you will retire, you will have a monthly income. That's
it. Yeah, but you need to understand when you buy the annuity. You don't buy the annuity until you're ready to annuitize it.
Okay, for 10 years.
No. He's not getting it, is he?
Why?
I don't think I understand what you just said.
So
you don't buy the annuity.
To annuitize an annuity, you put a certain amount of money in the bank.
Yes.
In an annuity, right? And the very next month, you start drawing into that annuity.
Okay.
The very next month, okay? If you put it in an annuity and you wait 10 years to then use it as an annuity, you've wasted 10 years of money you could have made on your money.
So I didn't get that. I was pretty sure that it has to be closed for a certain amount of time before... You start taking money out.
No, you can annuitize it immediately, which is what an annuity is.
So what's the point? Why they charge fee?
They charge fee because that's their commission.
No. The fee if you want to withdraw it early. Because if you want to withdraw all of it early,
they charge the fee. In other words, a year later you go, you know what? I went to investor schooling, and I learned that there are 400 better places to put money. It's even under a mattress that are better than an annuity, and now I want my money back. And they say, nah, you gave us 100. We're only going to give you 90,000 back. And then you want to punch the guy in the face, and you realize that Larry was right.
Okay.
So that's why I don't like annuities. Because if you make a mistake, you're stuck with it. You're stuck with the mistake.
I got right? you.
I mean, I had people come to me, you know, all the time, you know, we have students anywhere from students who have, you know, not a whole lot of money to multimillionaires come to me, and they want to learn different places to put their money. And sure enough, I had a student the other day, and he showed me all his annuities. And I'm like, how old are you? 32. Why do you have annuities? Well, because my guy told me it was a really good place to put money. It really is a good place of money for him because he gets paid a lot of money on it. And then I had to sit there and say, I give him all the bad news. Look at the fees that you're going to pay term, if you take the money out. I got 50 other places you can put that money that are much better. By the way, we don't sell products.
No, we don't.
Remember, we don't sell products. So when I'm telling you that, you know, I don't care if you buy an annuity. I don't care if you buy an ETF. I don't care if you buy a fund somewhere. It doesn't matter to me.
We do refer by our experience.
Right, because I don't sell them. Oh. I just tell you what I think. And if you want to go back to your financial advisor and buy it from them after they sold your annuity, you're crazy. but at least know what you're buying.
Yeah.
I have no skin in the game. I can't, you know, I'm telling you, you talk to these guys and they talk about annuities and you go there and they say, yeah, well, put your money in an annuity. Right away, you should say, have a nice day. Because that guy is going, oh, man, I get a nice big commission off of this. And that's it. That's all he's interested in. When you start to talk about what you should do for your finances, it's almost never an annuity. Almost never. Not. There are times annuities have their moments. But the way that the register reps are selling them now, they should never, ever be sold. And it's a shame because it's legal. You know, it's legal. They're not doing anything illegal. Technically, they might be doing something unethical, but in their belief, they're really not, because they're told by their bosses, oh, annuities are the greatest place to put money, so they're trained this way, and I mean, if the boss should really say, hey, annuities are the best place to put money because you make the most commission on them, at least be honest. At least be honest, right? I mean, you put $100,000 into a real estate, or you lend it to a real estate investor, 100% of your money goes to work for you, and you make more money.
Now, we talked about that they can't offer something else. By law.
Well, no, you got to be careful how you say that because you need to have some explanation.
No. Okay. Right. So you want to
so what
the
you're
explanation?
Talking about is you're talking about selling a fiduciary, which is the most. What's the oxymoron?
You know, I just left that one job, you know, and I got a notification the other day saying, hey, you know, we know that, you know, you're no longer with that company, but we do have a fiduciary. If you're interested in doing financial planning with us, where it's free of charge and we're happy to do it.
Oh, call him.
Call who?
Call the fiduciary.
Why?
Seriously, I want you to get an annuity, an annuity illustration.
Okay.
So tell him you have $100,000 you want to put away, and ask him what he's and just talk to him like you would normally. Now don't, you know, I don't want his name because, you know, that's not fair, but I want you to document the conversation, where it goes, how it goes, and then tell him you have $100,000 and watch him put you in an annuity, and then have him give you the illustration for the annuity, and then we can talk about it on the radio because I almost guarantee you that's what he's going to do. He's going to try to sell you an annuity.
I'll have to call back up on Monday.
You don't have to if you don't want to, but it'd be fun to do.
But no, because I just got, like, they just called me up the other day, and they're like, if you want, we can do this for you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get
back
to
you. I'm not sure why. If you don't work there anymore, why would they?
I think that because this company is they're very employee focused. They have a lot of good reviews. It just doesn't seem to work out. But they do a lot of things for their
employed.
To keep morale up and to and that's
events,
one of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that they offer is like a fiduciary, like financial planning. And I said, you know, I'll get back to you. I'll let you know. Thank you. So, you know, it was interesting.
So I want to go back to real estate just for a second.
Yes, let's do that.
You are renting right now.
I am.
I am renting right now.
Yeah. I actually moved two people in tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
I'm super psyched.
Where's that?
One in Monroe and one in DuPont.
Ooh.
Yeah, moving two people in tomorrow.
So you are lucky. And you tell me if I'm wrong. Right now, we are in time. Thanksgiving and
yeah, this
and
is
Christmas.
A hard time to rent. Yeah.
People don't want to move.
I am actually having an open house tomorrow. I have three or four people coming to look at that one bedroom tomorrow also.
So they moved in?
No. So
Yeah.
So I have one for DuPont and one in Monroe that I move them in tomorrow.
Okay, amazing.
Okay, and the same time, like an hour later, I'm going to have a showing for the one bedroom, one bath to see if I can rent that one out.
Okay, so you have good leads for that one.
Yeah. I have I had four people reach out to me, and I have two still I need to call back.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, and Larry will correct me if he thinks I'm wrong. Even in Florida, where we are trying to rent right now, it seems that the market is extremely low, and more than that, I think we are experiencing what we said we will experience 3 years ago. Everybody will have eviction or a problem in their credit. We knew that will come immediately after COVID. You have almost everybody has some stain on their application.
There was one, so the one woman, she had, I think she had some kind of issue on her, but it was like 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm like, so I'm aware of it.
It was a landlord-tenant case?
That's it wasn't a landlord-tenant case. She was like behind in a payment or something.
Okay.
So
what? A credit card payment?
No, I think it was a car payment.
Okay, I don't care about that. That's fine.
But it was like 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I always ask to see their, I either ask to see their credit report if they don't want to, or if they don't do it through Zillow, I'm like, I want to see your Credit Karma report.
Yeah.
So I'm like, give me your phone, let me see it, and then I'll look at it. And then I do the PAE docket right there to say, make sure everything's all right. And then one thing I learned that was my own fault, because I had trouble with the one tenant who just left. And one of the people I'm moving in tomorrow, there are two guys, there are two roommates in it. And I met the one guy, he came to see the open house and he seemed really nice. And I'm like, I want to meet your roommate. And he's like, well, he's over here. I'm like, go get him. I said, because unless I meet this guy, I don't care if you give me the deposit or not. I said, you're not moving in. So that was a mistake because I had for a different place. I had my.
He came or no?
He did. He went over. He got him. He was really uptight at first. And then we just started chatting. And then we were chatting for maybe 20 minutes. And I'm like, okay, this guy, So
we can make it work.
Yeah, we can make this work.
But, I got you.
So my mistake before was that the lady who was living there before, I had somebody else screen her because it was just more convenient and it was somebody I trusted.
An agent.
No, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
it was my mistake. So
what?
It was my mistake. And I'm like, if I have to make the drive to go for 10 minutes to meet somebody, I'll just do it because it'll cost me less money in the end. You know what I mean? So
People need to understand that for us, if I'm finding a tenant that stays in the house for a year, I lost money.
Yeah.
I lost money. That's it.
I 1 year is no good. They have to stay longer.
Of course, I lost money. I need to.
That's why it's funny. That's why credit scores of 750 and above are usually problems. Like if somebody has a credit score of 750, what do you think they're going to do a year from now?
They're going to buy a house.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. We see that all the time. The problem is that I need to make sure that people. Renters, potential tenants, will get the house in a way in a condition that I will be proud of it.
Yeah.
And after a year that people live in the house, there must be something I need to do. There must be some repairs. There must be some paint. There must be some stuff. Every time it's something small here and there.
Yeah.
Shampoo the carpet, all that, and here goes away the profit for us as landlord.
No.
So we want to make sure, and to me at least, it's the most important thing, is that the tenant will stay for at least 2 years. At least 2 years.
What are your thoughts on two-year leases as opposed to one-year
lease? You can do a two-year lease.
Do a two-year lease?
Absolutely. I mean, you could offer it. A lot of people may object, but you could offer it. They can only say, hey, can I do 1 year? Okay.
All right.
It's probably not a bad idea.
So the only thing is that in a two-year lease, they have a benefit. I mean, you can offer that, but you can fix the rent for 2 years.
Yeah,
you can do that. Yeah, sure.
And then what happens?
Well, you could say first year is 1,000, second year is 1,050. You could do that.
I know. You can do that too. But for the tenant to have a benefit from the two-year lease is to say, I'm fixing your rent for 2 years.
Yeah, it's true.
And then they are willing to do that.
Let's do this. Let's go to a commercial. I'm still having trouble with the live. I got the live. I think the live is working now after starting it over and over again. So if you're watching online, my apologies if it keeps cutting out. But let's go to a commercial because I want to see if I can make sure I get it all working good.
Sure.
We'll see you in a couple minutes. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to investorschooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. You may know me from my book, Money Hacks. You may know me from my radio shows. And you may even know me from some of these commercials. But listen, I'm teaching stuff that people need to learn about money. In fact, my favorite topic is money. So go to investorschooling.com and you will learn things about money that you never even knew existed. We will teach you things about real estate, about the stock market, and about how to use your IRAs properly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show.
I always said Investor Schooling.
I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Deb, and my co-host, Nami Morad.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to apologize to a couple of people who are online. Mary had called. Mary, if you want to call back, I will answer your question on annuities. I'm sorry about boundaries. I apologize. We had some technical difficulties. So, you know, I'm here in the studio. We don't have an engineer here. We have an engineer in PhD, which is Kirk. He does a great job. But I'm the engineer while we're doing the show. And because I had some problems, I wasn't paying attention to the screen. And Kirk let me know you were there. So, Mary, if you want to call back. But meanwhile, we got Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, Larry. It's Ed Dowling. How are you?
What's happening, man? How you feeling?
Hey, everybody have a good holiday, I hope.
We did.
Good. So my question about immediate annuities is, couldn't you accomplish the same thing by putting your money in a high yield money market account and then just, you know, take a fixed percentage every month?
High yield market account?
So you can. I mean, but you know, the thing with the annuity is the annuities have a fixed amount. So you could actually set up an annuity that says, I want this amount paid for the lifetime of somebody, right? Or paid for a certain period of time. Or pay till it runs out. So what annuity is for specifically is for the lifetime of somebody.
Can you explain the high yield account?
It's just a savings account.
Stock? A high yield savings account.
Yeah, it's a savings account.
No, it's not. Not stock.
No, it's not stock.
Okay.
It's almost like a CD. But the big thing about annuities is I give somebody $1 million and I say, okay, pay my son or pay my heirs, whatever. Let's say it's $5,000 a month forever. And they could do that. Now, $5,000 would be too high because that wouldn't work for forever. But they would figure out the average lifespan of the person who was leaving the money to, and they'd come up with an amount of money that they would pay that money would go out to. Now, you have certain choices. Let's say there's money left over. Let's say, you know, person dies that you left the money to in a car accident 2 days later. There's you could have it so that the balance goes to somebody else, goes to another beneficiary. Or it could be that it doesn't go anywhere. The life insurance company keeps it. So you have to make those decisions. Now, believe it or not, you would think that it's obvious to leave it to a beneficiary, but sometimes it's not because you won't get as much money if you leave it to a beneficiary. So that's why you have to make those decisions. It's almost like a fixed retirement plan. When you leave, they give you two choices. They give you a lifetime benefit or a survivor benefit, right? And then they lower your They lower your amount to leave it for a survivor. Now, I often tell people never do that either, by the way. And so if you're retiring and you have the choices of having a lifetime benefit, with Survivor or a lifetime benefit without a survivor, do a lifetime benefit without a survivor and buy a life insurance policy for the survivor, it will cost you less money. That's just how it usually works out. Unless you're sick and you know you're going to die, then it'd be better off the other way. All right, man. Any other questions on that, Ed?
The problem I have with annuities is you give up control over your, you lose control of your money, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And
I guess the longer you wait to annuitize it, you know, to buy an immediate annuity, the higher amount you're going to get in every month, right?
The longer you wait to annuitize, like say it one more time? Yeah, it's true, right. Because you're getting interest on the money you save. But you could do so much better elsewhere with your money than putting it into an annuity that doesn't even go to work for you 100%. And then when you're ready to annuitize it, that's when you buy the annuity. So if I had $1 million and I wasn't going to annuitize it for 10 years, I'd rather take that $1 million, buy real estate with it, buy some kind of appreciating asset with it. It doesn't matter. And then whatever that number is when 10 years from now, take that number and annuitize it and give it to the heirs or to yourself if you want to do that. That's the only time I would buy an annuity is if you're going to instantly annuitize it.
Right. And the longer you wait, the more money you'll get every month.
Say it again?
The longer you wait, the more money you get every month. The more money you'll get.
Say that one more time.
He said, okay.
The longer you wait, the
monthly payment is larger.
If you put it in an annuity?
Yeah.
So.
No, if instead of buying it at 60, you wait until you buy it at 70, you're going to get more money per month.
Well, you're not going to get more money. I see why you say. No, that's not even the point. You're going to buy it when you're ready to annuitize it.
Now I'm confused. What the question is?
It was a confusing question.
Okay.
But the whole point is, don't buy an annuity. Only buy an annuity if you plan to annuitize it, and only buy an annuity when you're ready to annuitize it. So if I want to turn my $1 million into a certain amount of money every month, do it that day. Not wait 10 years from now, because you wasted all that money you could have been making on the million that you had in there. You'll make some interest on it, but it won't even be anywhere compared to anywhere else you can go to make money. I mean, I'm telling you, a bank. Right now, a CD in a bank will give you more money than an annuity if you waited. So it's silly to do it.
How much does putting your money under the mattress pay?
It's safer.
It's safer. Not the return on your money, the return of your money.
Right, exactly.
You need to understand that right now, the banks, I'm getting right now in a big bank, 525. 525. I was amazed, but that's what I'm getting.
Yeah,
that's a high yield thing.
In a CD, 525.
Right. It's not gonna be that much longer. But yeah, exactly.
I believe it will end.
And believe it or not, that's more than annuity.
Yeah, amazingly.
And that's the point.
Yeah, so I can take the money, because it's a flexible CD, I can take the money out at any given point. Can take the money out.
Well, no, you can, you can't, you got to leave there a certain amount of time.
I have a day in the month that I can take the money out.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
A specific day in the month that I can take the money out.
Great.
Yeah.
There you go.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah, so there you go, Ed. I'm telling you, it drives me crazy because, you know, it happened again this week where one of my students came in and they were talking about investments. I'm like, what do you have? And they have annuities, and I'm like, you're 30-something years old. Who told you to buy this annuity? And the guy, I swear, you know what the guy actually said to him? Because he said this to me. You know, this is hearsay, of course, but I said, why did he tell you to buy an annuity? And you know what he said to him? He goes, what's the difference? He said to the client, which is my student, he said, you know, you got plenty of time to wait. You don't really need this money anyway. He basically said exactly what I just said.
At 30-year-old, you don't need the money anyway.
You don't need the money anyway.
Yeah.
You have lots of other money. He does. He has lots of other money. There's no doubt. He has lots of other money. But how can you make a decision like that for somebody with somebody else's money? You have no idea what their lifestyle is. You have no idea what their life is. And you have no idea what they're going to be 10 years from now.
Yeah.
How do you make that decision for somebody? That guy, you want to talk about a fiduciary? Yeah, that's why the word in the middle is so important. Fairy. Mary's going back.
Her name is Rose.
Oh, her name is Rose. All right, Ed, appreciate you, man. Let me get a Rose. What's going on, Rose?
Hi. So I live in a row house, and most of the yards have fences, but my property and the property next door to me does not have a fence in between them. When people originally got their yard done, I don't know, but I don't think they got surveys done. My neighbor all of a sudden wants to put a fence up, which is fine. I have a very small backyard because I'm on the end. Most of my property's in the front. So instead of being amicable about it, she has put like huge, well, she had another neighbor, put huge lawn furniture on what could be my property or could be the boundary line without having a survey. I don't know. And we had a conversation about it. And I said to her, this is when she moved in, I've had three different conversations with her. The last one, she, you know, was in a tip. So instead of being nice about it, now it's like an issue and she doesn't want to talk to me. And I don't really want to, I know, I don't really want to get a survey done because I think that's sort of what she wants me to do. So she won't have to pay for it. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to milk it out, but my nerves are kind of shot. Because it's
uncomfortable. All right, so this is where, you know, they always say, big fences make great neighbors, right?
Yeah. Right.
So this is so
my yard is really small, just so you know. So like it's the back.
She has a fence now, or she wants to put the fence up?
No, she doesn't. But the neighbors, like to her right, and everybody else to the right, have fences, and I have a fence on my left side.
You are an end unit, or you are also in the middle?
She's an end unit.
I'm an end. But not, but there's a fence between, like on my left side, there's a fence between myself and the next property, which isn't a row house. Who knows?
So you know, the only place that doesn't have a fence is between you and your neighbor and this neighbor.
Exactly.
And she's putting lawn furniture. So she's putting lawn furniture really close to the boundary, is what you're saying, or possibly on your property?
Well, this is the caveat. So, I mean, my family's owned the house for 30 years, and I haven't always lived here. But at some point, and I don't know when, someone built like a timber planter on her side. And I believe it comes over to my side because it comes closer to the end of my garage, not the middle of two rain spouts. So I was told the property line is between the middle of the two rain spouts and goes straight,
Rose,
straight to the end of where,
can I stop you for one? Can I stop you for one minute?
I'm very good. I'm like the nervous Nally that he talked to before.
No. Listen, I'm very good in recognizing people, and you are very much like me, very much like me, and I want to tell you something. The 1,000 or 1,500 that you will pay on survey compared to the, I'm sorry for the harsh term, mental damage you will cause yourself by not doing the survey and keep waking up every morning and thinking that maybe it's on my property and maybe it's not on my property.
It's so true.
Don't, I hear you. I hear your voice, believe it or not. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not the principle here of who will do the survey and all that, and especially now that you don't talk to her. And if you think that you will talk to her, put a 1-6 feet section of fence just to make sure where it is and be over with it. Listen, fencing companies right now do the surveys for you. It's not so much. It's really, if they come and they put the fence, it's not what you think that it will cost. People think surveys thousands. No, it doesn't have to be.
No.
I just called a company to do a fence in my property. They wanted another $1,000 to do this survey too. And I was actually surprised too by the price of the vinyl fencing. But I think in that case, so you will leave calmly and it won't bother you anymore. Put the fence.
I completely disagree.
Let me ask this, because I think maybe that was why she sort of, I just know the person minimally. So I understand about the survey, but one of my questions is, so that planter, that if that planter is over on my property, the timber planter,
it doesn't necessarily mean that the, like, through adverse possession, it doesn't necessarily mean that the property behind it would go with her house if she were to prove something. She's only lived there for 4 years.
Don't go there.
But other, I don't want to go there. I don't, but I think that's what she's thinking in her head.
So
she's reading
right.
all these things online,
years to
is
get,
what I guess.
It's going to take 21 years for her to get that property to, in adverse possession anyway. And all you have to do is object once in that 21 years, and the clock starts over.
So if I object verbally, or do I need to send her a letter?
So even if you object verbally and you can prove it, you're fine. But, you know, why not put it in writing? But if you have a planter, so here's where... Here's
it's her.
Where,
she has it. I don't.
No, I understand.
There's
a planter from her on
her
on your property. But listen, yeah. this is the opposite of what Army was saying. And I don't... it's just two opinions. Army says, go get your fence and feel better. I say forget about it and feel better. Just let it go. Who cares?
Not everybody can.
So I want to say
not everybody can forget and move on.
I know.
We talked about that on the plane actually when we came back a few days ago.
Let Debbie talk.
Okay, so I'm going to say this and just take it at will. Now here's a question for you, Rose. Now this planter, is it something that she touches every day, or is it something that she touches? You know, like it's she gardens in it or whatever. She does it all the time. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Rose, are you there? Are we there? Are we still online? Hey, Kirk, are we still on? Do we lose her? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she hung up on me because I said that.
No.
Okay. I got you.
Okay, answer the question anyway.
Okay, so here, you know, and this is totally wrong, and this is not PC. And I just want to throw that out there. Anyway, so I used to work with this guy years ago, and he had an issue with his neighbor. And similar to, you know, I don't know, whatever, like I have an issue with my neighbor, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, so I guess the neighbor was one of those busybodies and was always getting in the way of things and yada, yada, blah, 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 right? So she had something, it was similar to some kind of planter, and it had handles on it, and she would move it around to, I don't know the details of it. But what he did, I guess one night in the middle of the night or really late at night, again, not PC, he peed on the handles because it just gave him so much joy because every day she would touch it and it would make him feel better.
Are you really seriously telling her to do this?
Yes, absolutely.
You're telling her to do this?
This is exactly...
I'm not telling her to do it. I'm saying this is what my old boss did, and it totally relieved all the mental stress that he was having with her, because every time she touched whatever, he was just like...
How buttered... He was.
We have definitely gone down the rabbit hole here.
No, I just think
how bothered was
hold on for a minute.
That it caused the
She's talking.
She's back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. We lost you for a little bit.
Oh,
yeah,
so let me just make it clear. The planter is made of timber and is installed in the earth. And it extends over to what I think about a foot on my side. So, quick question. So if people put fences up, in Pennsylvania, from what I read, you can't put the post on the boundary line. My town will not get involved in this. They'll say if you put up a fence, you provide a survey and an affidavit that they are your boundaries, and then they stay out of it, is my guess. So my question is, is that right? Can you put the post on the boundary?
Let her finish. So we can.
You are right. Yes, the post has to be on your side, and the fence, the nice side of the fence, has to face the neighbor or the outside.
Right, and it's
you
6 inches.
To see the post.
It's
yes,
6 inches from your property
right,
line.
The real thing is,
if you're
the real
getting
thing
a fence,
is, this planter
I don't really
is on
want
her
a fence.
Property. This planter's on her property.
I think
right.
so.
So the township's not going to do anything about it. But believe it or not, the only thing you can do is hire a lawyer. And have the lawyer send her a letter and say, remove the planter. And then she might fight it and blah, blah, blah. Eventually it goes
but
to court anyway.
But does the land behind it, like, I don't care. I've lived here for, like, close to 20 years. I don't care that the planter, I mean, I don't like that it's on my property. But I, as long as there's no, like, my question is, does the planter somehow determine the boundary line behind it? Because that's what where she's judging.
I don't know about
part
that.
Of her land.
The boundary line was the boundary line when it was created.
Just because it's been there for a long time.
It would have to be 21 years or more, and she'd have to claim adverse possession, and it wouldn't. It would be. There's so much to it. It's not easy.
Right.
It's not easy to claim adverse possession.
So what would she? Yeah, I know that's what I've been reading, but I don't think she realizes that. So, you know, okay. So, if I had a survey,
have you asked her to move it? Like,
Well, it's timber. It's in the ground. I haven't asked her. Just the day she moved in, I said, "This is what's going on. This is the middle of." I've been told this is the middle of the rain. Between the rain cells on the building, straight back. That's my yard and the other half's your yard. It's never been an issue. Quite honestly, both yards are kind of small and they don't get used a lot. But now, she's
all right, Rose,
all
you ready?
I hear you.
Here's my opinion. Don't be insulted by this. You need a hobby.
No, it's fine.
Don't let this bother you anymore. Don't let this bother you anymore.
That's
it's not
kind
worth
of
it.
What I was trying to do. I
it's
was just
not
like,
so
well,
automatic.
Get the survey.
Yeah, but you could do
that's
it.
What
you
I
could get the survey.
I said, look,
you could put the fence
fine.
Up.
Get
you,
a
could,
survey.
You could tell her everything she needs to do.
Yes.
And she still might not move it, and you're going to be stuck with it, and then you got to go to court. It's not worth it. You know, I mean,
no,
you know, is it ugly?
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not concerned about the planter. I'm just concerned about the little yard behind it because I have a really, really small yard. And if
Rose,
she puts the post on of her fence on there, my yard becomes like the size of a pizza pie. That's
stop. Stop. I lost 7 years of my life over a neighbor's dispute when I was 26.
Can you imagine Army having a neighbor dispute?
When I was 26, okay? And I'm telling you, if
and
you
I'm
have
not,
the mental... If you
older.
Have... Listen, let me finish. If you have the mental ability to go through it, which is something that Larry have...
I really don't.
Go through it. If you don't have the mental ability, and that's the first thing that will come up to your mind every morning... Or every time you look through the window and you see that there, because you are looking for it there. If you will have this worry, this, I won't say anxiety, but whatever it is, every time you go back home because you know that this problem is there, it doesn't, it's not worth it. Do the survey.
Okay.
Put a line. Put whatever you need just so it will be out of your mind. And then I promise you, it will be worth it. Once you will be done with it, it will be worth it and you will feel it.
It could be worse. Your neighbor could be a Democrat.
Yes.
You could still just pee on the plane.
Or he is, or they are.
There you go. See, that's the problem. The problem is they're Democrats. They're entitled to steal your property. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but that's,
thank you.
You know, not, it's just a horrible way to go about it. But so
do the
just
survey and
I'm
take
really
it out
sorry.
Of your mind.
Right. So it's either Army, take Army's advice, do the survey, spend $1,500, $2,000 to take it out of your mind, or just forget it and take it out of your mind.
Not
either one
that,
is a solution.
Okay.
But I'm just
can
for
I just
like,
ask
you know what, forget
one,
it.
Put the fence,
one quick
put
clarification.
Six. Yeah.
Could I ask one quick thing? So
yeah, sure.
I don't really want to get a fence. But if she gets a survey and she gets a fence, can the post be right on the boundary?
No, it's usually
or
has to be set
it,
back a certain period, a certain amount.
Good. That's what I thought. I mean, that's what I read online, but
right.
I think everybody here puts it on the boundary. So, because that would be an issue for me because I couldn't even really fit in my yard. It's that small, very small.
Yeah, I got
that's
it.
That's all.
And then the funny part is you have to cut his grass because it's on your side.
Well, that's how I would do it. And she's like, oh, it's just so weird. I just can't even.
I know.
It's just so ridiculous over like 18 inches. I'm serious.
Do
like,
the survey
exactly.
And take it out of your mind. Clear your mind to more important things.
Harvey's really passionate about this. All right, Rose, we appreciate it. And hopefully you guys
will
work it out.
Thank you.
Give us a call in a couple of months. Let us know what happened because I'd be curious. But besides that, I tell you, just take it out of your mind.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Right. Blake referred to the previous conversation we had about renting a house the way it is. First of all, he called me Amri.
Yeah.
Amri.
Yeah. And he said, what if the tenant want to take the house as is without doing any repairs? I did that before.
Don't ever do that.
And I tell you what happened,
Blake. You got
Blake,
20 seconds to explain it.
Okay, so you will get a call the next day to start fixing things by the tenant.
Exactly. Never rent anything.
They are in rush
as
to,
is unless it's a lease option and they're going to take on all the repairs.
They are in rush to move in and then the problems will start to pop up because they want to live in a perfect house.
All right.
Go.
I thank all my listeners for listening.
Yes.
And I want to thank Army for interrupting everybody, including the callers.
Yes.
Because, you know, he makes it so interesting.
Yes.
Maybe next time we'll have to mute his microphone more often.
Please.
I want to, of course, thank Kirk for hanging out with us and being our awesome producer. And what else we got, Deb? Anything?
You don't want to thank me for being here today?
I want to thank you for being here, Deb. Well, even though Army cut you off every time as well.
Come on.
And if you guys want to take a free class, go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. You can take a complimentary class and learn all this cool stuff. We will see you Thursday.
Don't you want to say that we're on at one? Aren't we
exactly.
on at one?
We're on at one.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.